Good morning. I'm Khaki Walton, checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Orpheum Theater. The Memphis Symphony Orchestra has announced its lineup for the 2018-2019 concert season. Subscriptions are on sale now, and single tickets will be going on sale August the 1st. It's an exciting lineup of shows, from masterworks to chamber music to their pops concerts and some special things thrown in there. And here to tell us about it this morning, my first chance to ever sit down and chat with Robert Moody, the conductor of the Memphis Symphony. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and I'm jealous because Daryl Snodgrass always gets to do it, so I'm glad he's on vacation.
I like Daryl, but it's great to talk to you as well, for sure.
Well, let's get started and just give everybody a rundown. I've just looked over what is coming up next year, and I mean, you've put together a fantastic season.
Well, thank you very much, and we're very excited about it. You know, there seems to be a great buzz about the symphony going on right now. We have broken a lot of records in this past season in both ticket sales and our annual fund giving. And, you know, we ain't out of the woods yet, but we're heading in the right direction. And it really feels like artistically and organizationally, the orchestra's in great shape. I wanted to plan a season that had sort of the right elements of great music, which would be the right fit for Memphis. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've pulled that off. It feels really great.
It looks really great. Well, let's tell everybody. You've got opening weekend coming up Saturday, September the 29th at the Cannon Center. And as always, you'll be doing a performance the following afternoon at the Germantown Performing Arts Center. But you're bringing together the 19th and 20th centuries for this first concert.
Yeah, I like to always start off a season with a bang. And this is our Masterwork Series. This coming year, the Masterwork Series has a new sponsor. It's Paul and Linnea Burt. Mm-hmm. They have sponsored our Classic Accents before, and they are continuing to do so, but man, we're grateful for that. There's six concerts during the year, the first one in September. We open with the overture and a suite from Candide by Bernstein. This August 25th, had he lived, Leonard Bernstein would have turned 100 years old.
Oh.
So we're doing this to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the birth of maybe the most important musician in American history, certainly in the 20th century. I would not be sitting here, for example, if it weren't for Leonard Bernstein. No American conductor would have a career if it weren't for Leonard Bernstein. So very exciting to kick off with that. The major concerto that concert cycle is the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. Ty Murray is coming to play. Ty is a phenomenal American violinist. She's actually, much of her career has been in France and in Europe, mm-hmm. but major recording artist, tremendous player, and we're excited to welcome her. This great work by Florence Price was a very important...
From Arkansas.
Near here,
yeah.
And very important, both African-American and female composer. And I'm getting a chance to sort of delve into her music, and I've fallen in love with it. So we're doing a well-known piece of hers called Dances in the Cane Breaks. And for one extra really bit of fun on the concert, Chris Brubeck is a great friend of mine. He's the son of the legendary Dave Brubeck. And Chris is a fantastic composer. He wrote a piece called Interplay for Three Violins. And so this is going to be Ty Murray, our concertmaster Barry Cooper, and the phenomenal violinist from the University of Memphis, and very often the Iris concertmaster,
right?
Marcin Arendt.
Ah.
These three are going to play this piece, Interplay for Three Violins. One violin plays in a more classical style, one in a more Irish fiddling style, and one in a jazz style.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a phenomenal, basically triple threat short concerto. So I think people are going to be in for a really powerful set of concerts.
That's fantastic. I love it. And I love that you're finally, it's sort of like the spotlight is finally shining on Florence Price. I think
so as well. She had a great article in the New York Times
this
past year, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you are going to notice that there are going to be more and more works by African-American composers, by female composers. This is what we should be doing. This mm-hmm. is like being the pioneers and heading west, and this is what's next.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much great music to explore.
She's got beautiful symphonies. I mean, it's a romantic style, though, too, right?
It is.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, that's a wonderful way to kick off the season. So, again, the opening weekend, the Bernstein and Tchaikovsky celebration with music by Chris Brubeck and Florence Price. That's Saturday, September 29th. 9th at 7:30 at the Cannon Center and the following afternoon at 2:30 at the Germantown Performing Arts Center. Then we're going to move on to November for a Veterans Day salute.
And you can tell I like history. The 100th anniversary of the birth of Bernstein, November the 11th, 2018, is the 100th anniversary of the armistice, of the signing of the peace treaty that ended World War I. With that in mind, the concert falls right on Veterans Day at GPAC and the day before at Cannon. But we are going to do the Aaron Copland Fanfare for the Common Man, which was written as part of the war effort for World War II. He wrote it in 1943. And then after that, Elgar's Enigma Variations. Edward Elgar, one of the composers who was alive and working and really felt the effects of World War I. Mm-hmm. And it was on my mind, too, because Nimrod from Enigma Variations was used perfectly as the soundtrack background for the movie Dunkirk this past year.
Oh, yes.
So if people saw Dunkirk and they will know this theme incredibly well. The big piece is by Carl Jenkins, The Armed Man. And this is in the vein of the Britten War Requiem or the Vaughan Williams, Dona Nobis Pacem. This is a huge call for peace. So The Armed Man is a War of the Roses marching carol, French marching carol. Huh. And it uses that theme to begin and almost end the work. At the beginning, in French, the armed man is to be feared. At the end, the text, same tune, the text now says, better is peace than always war. In between, there are movements of the Catholic Mass. There is a Jewish work. There is a Muslim call to prayer. There is an ancient Hindu rune. There is a poem by a survivor of Hiroshima. So you understand, this is really, I think, the perfect world come together, please stop killing each other, call for peace. And my father was a veteran. I did not serve. And every veteran I know, I think no one wants peace more than a veteran.
They understand
war better than any of us.
Absolutely.
So it's a great chance to both honor veterans and maybe with great music try and bring people together.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Carl Jenkins, Edward Elgar, Aaron Copland on the Veterans Day Salute, Fanfare for the Common Man concert, Saturday, November 10th at 7:30 at the Cannon Center, and then Sunday afternoon, November 11th at 2:30 at the Germantown Performing Arts Center. And mentioning, too, on that concert, Dr. Lawrence Edwards is going to be leading the Memphis Symphony Chorus and the University of Memphis Singers.
That's right.
Now, you are bringing someone to town in January that I'm super excited about because I remember when his debut CD came out, and I was really excited about it. He's a fantastic pianist named Awadijan Pratt. I just was thinking about him because I played something by him a few weeks ago, and I was thinking, where is he now? Oh, wow. Whatever happened to him? And you're bringing him to Memphis, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, Awadijan is a great friend of mine. We've done concertos together with multiple orchestras around the country. He still concertizes all over the world. He's also on faculty at Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, and really has become an incredible teacher as well as player. Mm-hmm. With us, he's going to do the Beethoven 4th Piano Concerto. People often ask me, of the five piano concertos of Beethoven, which is my favorite? It's always the one I'm playing at the time. I mean, every time I work on one with a pianist, I think, well, this has to be the greatest. I mean, all five of them are absolute masterpieces.
Right.
So he's going to play the 4th, and he's a real king of that. If people haven't seen Awadijan before, he's sort of famous for his dreadlocks, and he told me once that he's a great tennis player, and when he was younger, he was a big fan of the tennis player Yannick Noah.
Yes!
And so he grew his dreadlocks to look like Yannick Noah.
Get out!
Yeah, nice little side story on Awadijan. And then on the concert, it's a classical first half, a romantic second half, the Mozart Overture to Marriage of Figaro, then the Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 4. Second half, we're doing Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit obsessed with this work. I own my own set of parts. I've been pretty crazed about doing it over the years. If people don't think they know this, I promise you they know at least one theme, the slow movement, third movement theme. One of the best clarinet solos in all the repertory was stolen exactly by Eric Carmen in the 1970s.
All by myself.
That's the piano concerto.
That's right.
This one is Never Gonna Fall in Love Again.
Oh!
So when you hear the clarinet and you start thinking, Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. That's this piece.
Man.
So I think this is one of the best symphonies ever written. I'm so excited to get to do it. And, you know, we're getting sort of close to the Valentine's time, and it's a very romantic piece as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Boy, Eric Carmen knew who to steal from, didn't he?
He stole very well.
Okay, so Al Dodgen Pratt playing Beethoven, and then Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony, Saturday, January 12th at 7:30 downtown at the Cannon Center, and then the following afternoon at 2:30 at GPAC. Then you're bringing in... He's a bona fide rock star. He just is.
Yeah, Keith Lockhart is the music director of the Boston Pops, and really one of the most famous, you know, faces in all of music. He succeeded John Williams, and that's no small feat.
Right.
And he really has become really a legendary conductor with the Boston Pops. He's also the music director of the Brevard Music Center. Mm-hmm. He's also a graduate of Furman University, as am I.
Oh, my goodness.
Keith's a little bit older than me, but we have become great friends over the years because of our shared sort of alumni status. And I'm a huge fan, and he will bring a lot of energy to this concert. He's going to do Dvorak Symphony No. 8, one of the fantastic works that you just, I think, have to hear live to understand the power of a live romantic symphony. Charles Dimmick, who is the concertmaster of the Boston Pops, was also my concertmaster of the Portland Symphony in Maine. Phenomenal violinist, is coming to play the Samuel Barber Violin Concerto, one of the most beautiful first movements of any violin concerto that exists. And Daniel Romaine is an African-American composer. He's living. He and I have become good friends in the past few years. He's based out in Phoenix, Arizona. But Daniel wrote a piece called Dancers, Dreamers, and Presidents. He wrote it when then-presidential candidate Barack Obama went onto the Ellen DeGeneres show. And if anybody watches Ellen, you know that she often has her guests sort of dance on. So he was affected by watching Barack Obama dance with Ellen DeGeneres. And from that experience, he wrote a phenomenal piece. It's in three sections, and they follow the title, Dancers, Dreamers, Presidents. I think people are going to go crazy for this piece and for getting a chance to see Keith Lockhart sort of out of the Boston Pops element and conduct this great classical repertory.
That's going to happen February the 23rd. That's Saturday, February 23rd at the Cannon Center, and then Sunday, February 24th at the Germantown Performing Arts Center. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the conductor of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra, Robert Moody. We're giving you a rundown of the 2018-2019 season. August 1st, single tickets will go on sale, but season subscriptions are on sale now. So I urge you to get your tickets for the next season because there's just so many wonderful concerts to choose from. You can do that by going to memphissymphony.org or by calling them at 537-2525. We're moving on to March, and this is bringing back a beloved musician who has strong Memphis ties.
Yeah. There are a lot of concerts I've done which are powerful. This one's going to have a unique kind of power. Ryan Anthony is coming to be our guest soloist. Ryan Anthony got his start in the trumpet section of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. It was his first job. Mm-hmm. He went on from here to become the first trumpet of the Canadian Brass. He left the Canadian Brass when he was offered a principal trumpet of the Dallas Symphony. Mm-hmm. Ryan and I have become great friends over the years. People in Memphis will also know him probably for his incredible recitals he does with the phenomenal organist Gary Beard.
Right.
Ryan's wife is from Memphis. He really thinks of Memphis as, you know, his home, certainly second home, if nothing else.
Uh-huh.
Ryan is about my age, and unfortunately, about three and a half years ago, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. This is a rare form of cancer that typically affects people who are much older than, say, in their mid-late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bone marrow transplant, and none other than Doc Severinsen came to visit him. And Doc said to Ryan, "What can I do for you?" And Ryan said, "You can share the stage with me one more time once I get better." Well, Ryan is in recovery, and he's doing incredibly well. The advances in that research on that cancer have been just fantastic in the past few years. So he's still playing great. Ryan organized a foundation called Cancer Blows.
I love it.
I got to conduct the live first inaugural performance, which is now a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Severinsen was on this CD, Arturo Sandoval, the principal trumpet of every top 20 orchestra in America. Just an amazing experience.
Oh.
Jim Stevenson wrote a concerto for Ryan. It's called It's Concerto for Hope, and it's about Ryan's struggle and overcoming of this bout with multiple myeloma, and really for all who struggle with anything,
right?
Physical or otherwise. Mm-hmm. We're opening the concert then with the John Williams Summon the Heroes. I thought it seemed appropriate.
Yes, it is.
We'll play the Concerto for Hope. And then there's a piece called Song for Hope, which is for two trumpets. And the two trumpets will be Ryan Anthony and his former boss, his former principal trumpet, our principal trumpet, Scott Moore.
Oh.
And it's Scott Moore. He's one of my just favorite people in the orchestra. And well published on Facebook and social media. He's gone through his own health struggle, and he's receiving a kidney transplant this year.
I did not know that.
And so both of them, this Song for Hope is going to have unbelievable power, and I couldn't be more proud than to work with those two gentlemen. And just for good measure, we thought we'd do the Tchaikovsky Fourth Symphony to finish off that little ditty. I mean, it's one of the greatest works of power, I think, that exists in the repertory.
What a special concert.
It's going to be a very, very special concert.
A Concert for Hope, Tchaikovsky 4, Ryan Anthony, March the 30th, 7:30 at the Cannon Center, March the 31st, Sunday afternoon at the Germantown Performing Arts Center. Oh, and seeing Ryan and Scott perform together, that's going to be something.
Going to be amazing.
Yeah. Well, you're going to wrap up the Masterworks season with, my goodness, you're bringing it with some Mahler.
Yeah, I'm a mammoth Mahler fan, and you know, I'm just beginning my tenure here. People are going to see a good bit of Mahler in the years to come. Gustav Mahler, I think to musicians, it's sort of the top of Mount Fuji. It's like reaching the summit of the greatest live orchestral works. The Fifth Symphony is, I would say, most famous for its Adagietto movement, mm-hmm. which is really often heard in the same level as, say, the Barber Adagio for strings. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most poignant pieces of music you'll ever hear. But it opens with an incredibly well-known trumpet fanfare, the symphony itself, and just ends with the greatest finale I think I've ever heard. We're also doing a piece on the concert by Mason Bates. Mason is one of my very best friends. I was a groomsman in his wedding. He was for many years composer-in-residence of the Chicago Symphony. He's now composer-in-residence at the Kennedy Center. And he wrote a piece last year called Passage. It's actually to commemorate the July of 1969 moon landing.
Oh.
So this will be in May of 2019. We'll be right at the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Oh.
And so that's why we're putting Passage on. And he was given permission and given actual conversations between Houston and the men in space.
Oh.
So that becomes part of the music itself.
Wow.
So we're going to celebrate that 50th anniversary and then end our Masterwork season with one of the greatest works of all time, the Mahler 5.
So that's Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May the 19th. You want to quickly go over the Classic Accents season for next year?
Yeah, so Classic Accents are three concerts. It's typically a slightly smaller orchestra, so imagine, say, instead of 75 people on stage, more like 30 or 40 people on stage, doing music that really works for that size ensemble. A couple of things I will just point out. On the first Classic Accents in January, this was an idea I came up with about 3 years ago, and I've been dying to do it ever since. I'm putting together Stravinsky, Soldier's Tale, which, of course, is about a soldier written, by the way, during World War I, uh-huh. a soldier who goes AWOL, sells his violin, a.k.a. his soul, to the devil.
Right.
And we tell that story. We're collaborating with New Ballet Ensemble for Dancer. We have a great narrator and actor. And also, we're bringing in Vastai Jackson, who is one of the world's leading Robert Johnson tribute artist, and Vastai is going to sing Robert Johnson blues between the movements of the Stravinsky. It's going to behave and be presented as one work.
Oh.
Because Robert Johnson, not far from here, Clarksdale,
right. sold. That's my hometown.
The crossroads,
yeah.
sold a soul to the devil. So it is set. So both stories just put together really well, and I think Stravinsky and Delta Blues is going to be a hit. I'm sure of it.
I love it.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes, that's completely awesome. My hometown is being represented.
I'm so proud of that. The second Classic Accent is going to feature our principal cellist, Ruth Valente Burgess, and the cello professor at the University of Memphis, Kimberly Patterson, both of them phenomenal players. There's a piece by David Ott, living composer, He wrote it. Rostropovich commissioned him to write it for the first two cellos of the National Symphony in the late 1980s.
Oh.
So this is the David Ott double cello concerto, and it's like watching two cello rock stars. It's like the I'm a cellist, and to watch and to see what these guys, the hoops they go through virtuosically, just amazing. So that's on that second concert, also the Brahms First Symphony. And then on the final concert, I'm bringing in another one of my great, great friends, Telly Leong. People might know the name from Broadway. He is currently in Aladdin. He is Aladdin on Broadway in New York. Prior to that, he was in Rent on Broadway. He was in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. He's been in a number of huge shows. He was actually on the TV show Glee for the last few seasons. Telly is a phenomenal singer. We're going to do the Beethoven Third Symphony, Eroica, on that concert. And Peter Schickli, people probably know him better as PDQ Bach, but as Peter Schickli himself, he wrote a piece for chamber orchestra and vocal soloist called Beatles Set. And it's six Beatles tunes set for chamber orchestra and singer. And they're, I think they're so powerful. I've done them a number of times, and it's going to be so much fun to do these with Telly.
Oh, I love it.
So that's the three concerts, and those are on Saturday nights at Harris Hall at the University, Sunday afternoons at GPAC.
Okay. Of course, Handel's Messiah scheduled for the holiday season.
Yep.
And then you're bringing back some Pops concerts, too, everything from Elvis in Las Vegas to Cirque de la Symphony. You're going to be playing Star Wars music.
We're growing our Pops back. You know, a few years ago, the Pops were down to really one, maybe two concerts. Now our Magic of Memphis has become a huge hit in early December. We're actually bringing a magician this year, Lynn Dillies. I've worked with her a number of times. She actually makes me appear at the beginning of the show. I cannot tell you how it happens. It's the only illusion I know. But she's an illusionist on a grand scale, sort of a David Copperfield scale.
Right.
So it's going to be, and everything is choreographed to live symphony orchestra.
Oh.
And speaking of live choreography, the fall Pops concert, Cirque de la Symphony, is coming. They do huge aerial acts where they're hanging from these silks above the orchestra. Wonderful Cirque-type feats, all choreographed with the great classical works, great orchestral works.
Wow.
Of course, in January, we would not be the Memphis Symphony if we didn't do the Elvis concert. It was my first concert that I ever conducted here, 2005. I conducted the Elvis birthday concert. And then maybe one of the greatest things we're going to do all year, in March, we're saluting one of Memphis's true superstars, David Porter.
Yeah.
So David is actually helping us with this concert. We're having new arrangements written just for this tribute. We will tell as we get closer some amazing singers coming in to sing the great works from the early days of Stax to later on. I mean, think about it. This is the guy who wrote, you know, Hold On, I'm Coming, and Soul Man, and all the way up to things like Getting Jiggy With It. So we get to celebrate that on the concert. I'm so excited. And then the final Pops is going to be on May the 4th. And if anyone is a Star Wars geek like me, you will know that May the 4th is International Star Wars Day.
Exactly.
I.e., May the 4th be with you. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We're bringing in a huge number of Star Wars reenactors playing just a mammoth amount of music from all of the Star Wars films.
Wow.
So,
man,
we're feeling pretty good.
I'm feeling pretty good about it, too. This is exciting. And I know you're excited listening to us tell you about this wonderful concert lineup. Remember that subscriptions to the Memphis Symphony Orchestra's 2018-2019 concert season on sale now. Go to memphissymphony.org. Call the box office at 537-2525. Single tickets will be going on sale August the 1st. And something else we wanted to let you know about, you've got a new website that's about to debut.
We are launching a new website. I don't have the exact date, but it's coming in the next few weeks, so just keep your eye out. You'll be able to purchase tickets through our current website, no problem, but there'll be a nice unveiling of a cooler, I know it's not a word, but a cooler new website coming out.
We'll look forward to it. Robert Moody, it's been so much fun to talk to you this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Pleasure is mine. Looking forward to a great season.
Checking in the Arts Made Possible by contributing listeners and the Orpheum Theater, celebrating 90 years of entertaining the Mid-South and continuing to showcase Broadway shows with world-class entertainers, which, in addition to philanthropic support, fund education and community outreach initiatives. Details at orpheum-memphis.com.